Hello and welcome to the Not Alone bonus episode. We are doing this thing where we kind of enter in media res, which all of our English majors will remember what that means. And what? Right now, the situation that you're walking into is Jason bought a stolen car.
I don't think so. Maybe. They seem like an... I don't know. This is why I don't buy big expensive things. How does that happen? I mean, they've been around a while,
How
I think.
How long have you had the car?
Couple months.
And they still have not sent you the title.
No. I'm going to call them tomorrow and then figure out what's going on with that.
So the car is unregistered.
Still. But I have until the 25th of this month. I got a 90-day traveler.
Anyway, so that's what's going on in Jason's world. In my world, I am trying to talk myself out of buying shoes that I don't need and will never use. Anyway, so yes, this is the Not Alone bonus episode.
Stop freaking me out. Now I'm now I'm really worried.
As a rule, the bonus episode is something that I do not go back and edit. We kind of just do it raw, off the cuff, as it were. And so I will like edit out any unnecessary silences and things like that. As another rule, the bonus episode...
They're a Carfax Advantage dealer. They gotta be legit.
As another rule, don't buy a car if you can't walk away with the title that day.
Yeah, I learned this now.
In hand.
I didn't know.
In third news.
I was ignorant.
In third news. Typically, the bonus episodes are exclusives for our $5 and above patrons. Since we're relaunching the podcast, as it were, we are going to put this one out for all of our patrons to hear this time around, so you can kind of get a feel as to what it's like for this bonus episode. So, yeah, next time we won't do that again, but this time we're going to. So, I'm just trying to get this to tile. There we go. Come on. What the heck?
It just doesn't make any sense.
Why can't I? Okay. Anyway, I know it doesn't, buddy. I know. It's a problem, but we'll worry about it. We'll worry about it.
Well, now I'm really worried about it. Damn. No, I don't think I'm just going to, I'm going to have to go right now. Goodbye.
Okay, bye. He's going to drive to, where was
Bend,
it?
Oregon.
Bend, Oregon. A healthy 6-hour drive from here.
Yeah. Easy. I'll get there by 10 o'clock. They'll be closed for an hour and 40 minutes.
Excellent. And then he'll come back. I'm going to let him process for a minute as I have a sip of tea.
I'm done processing.
Bought my car from a very nice old man in Nampa.
That sounds sketchier.
No, title in hand. It only had 16,000 miles on it despite it being a 4-year-old car because he was a very nice old man.
Anyway, so let's get chatting. Let's do this.
So this week.
I'm sleepy. I didn't get to go home and take a nap.
The thing about, I know, it was so good. I just played on TikTok for an hour.
And
by played on TikTok, I mean watched TikTok. And then my hour-long TikTok limit that I have set up on my phone kicked in, and then I took a nap. And now I can't watch any TikToks until tomorrow. And that sounds like a very long time from now. So we'll fill the time doing other things. Things like this. Talking about conspiracies.
Makes sense to me.
Secret conspiracies.
Ah, the good old days.
Is that what this is? Why is it the good old days?
Just good old-fashioned conspiracy theories, bud.
That's true.
That's the best.
We're going to cover a few of them this year, starting with this one.
I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm missing the aliens.
You know, somebody else's, too. Luke, on our Facebook page, he demands more aliens and ghosts, and I'm tempted to give it to him.
Well, Fleetwood. Is it Fleetwood?
What?
The one alien. The one that's not an alien.
What are you talking about?
Flatwoods?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, we could do Flatwoods.
Fleetwood, that's
a
band.
I'm looking over here, and we don't have any alien content scheduled as of yet.
They're all just owls.
But we could move some stuff around.
No.
We could figure it out.
Anyway. The conspiracy that we're talking about today.
Yes, is the conspiracy of... This is weird.
You're just going to break things, aren't you?
All right, let me do this. See, this is weird having this here now. This is how I used to do it for about 2.5 years, and now it's just strange.
Is it now, Sam? Is it?
The conspiracy that we're going to talk about today is the conspiracy of the third secret of Fatima, or third part of the secret of Fatima.
Perfect.
As you'll recall.
Lovely.
On our episode where we talked about these things.
Run it back for me. What was secret number one and
two? Secret number one was a vision of hell. Secret number two was the desire of Mary for the entire world to be, or not the entire world, well, mainly, but specifically Russia, to be consecrated to her Immaculate Heart and to be converted and thus to stop the war. And if this didn't happen, there would be another greater war that occurred because of Russia, which I think we're getting to. We're getting to pretty quick here.
Okay. So the war has not come yet. I'm following.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. The entire, like, communist like the Cold War, right?
I mean,
that was a Russian thing.
It's a proxy war, but
yeah, yeah. And we're talking about like nations being annihilated off the face of the earth and like stuff like that. Not as of yet. Again, we'll see it. The secret could be fulfilled.
Are the nations getting annihilated or like the actual land masses?
Oh, that's a great. It doesn't say.
Mm.
You know what? You're right. Let's go back.
That's not a very clear doomsday secret.
That's all right.
No, I want specifics.
I'm going to read the second secret again. Again, the first secret.
You need to convert Russia. Okay.
The first secret was just the vision of hell. Here's the second one, just so we all remember.
I don't feel like that's a secret, though, is it? I mean,
it's a secret because now we know it's real. A secret is just a hidden thing that not everybody knows. It doesn't have to be like a something that nobody knows.
That's the best kind of secret. Well, that's a real secret.
Anyway, okay, here's the second part of the secret.
If I told you the secret, I'm like, Sam, your hair is brown.
The secret is that it's not. It is brown.
Yeah.
I've never dyed my hair. I've always wanted to, but my parents would not allow me to dye my hair blue or red, and for that, I am infinitely grateful.
They for sure won't let you do it now that you're moving in.
That's true. All right, here's the second secret. You have, quote, you have seen hell where the souls of poor sinners go. To save them, God wishes to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart. If what I say to you is done, many souls will be saved, and there will be peace. The war is going to end. But if people do not cease offending God, a worse one will break out during the pontificate of Pius the 11th. When you see a night illumined by an unknown light, know that this is the great sign given to you by God that he is about to punish the world for its crimes by means of war, famine, persecutions of the church, and of the Holy Father. To prevent this, I shall come to ask for the consecration of Russia to my Immaculate Heart and the communion of reparation on the first Saturdays. If my requests are heeded, Russia will be converted and there will be peace. If not, she will spread her errors throughout the church, causing wars and persecutions of the church. The good will be martyred. The Holy Father will have much to suffer. Various nations will be annihilated. In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. The Holy Father will consecrate Russia to me, and she will be converted, and a period of peace will be granted to the world.
Okay, so that's the first one.
And two things about that really quick that we didn't mention in our mainstream episode. Pope Pius XI was the pope up until the year of 1939.
So was that the current pope?
No. What's interesting. The secret, again, the secret was being revealed after 1939, but
41, right?
Yes, or okay. 41 thereabouts. But the Pope Pius would not be the pope until after the secret was given to the children. So later on, somebody asked Lucy, and I also misspoke and said that Lucy was a saint. She's not a saint. She's on the path of sainthood. So just wanted to clear that up as well. It's kind of weird because
it's weird because she's not walking that path.
Well, okay. It's weird because we recorded the entire month's worth of episode ahead of time. And now this we're recording after the first episode has come out, but before the other one. So like, I feel almost obligated to like issue a few corrections for things that people hear. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just like Star Wars.
And I could legitimately just go back and change it, but I'm not going to because that would be a lot of work. In any case, Lucy was asked, they said, so did they say Pope Pius the 11th by name, or did they give you like a date range and then later you realize it was Pius the 11th? And she said, no, the voice said Pius the 11th. And we actually didn't know if it was a king or a pope or what, but that was the message we were given. And then the other interesting thing is where it talks about this mysterious light. So for one thing, Pope Pius the 11th, like I said, he got out of the papacy, which happened because he died. So he died in 1939, technically before the start of World War II, but after the annexation of Austria, which was a big lead up to World War II, according to Lucy. That's what she says. That's how she interprets this, and how that still syncs with the prophecy. There was an account of them of a freak occurrence.
Confused though. I don't see how Russia started this.
Wow. Yeah. Now, so this the
Did
Great
Russia
War.
Made Poland?
No.
I don't remember that.
The Great War. Is the Second Great War is not necessarily what Russia, it doesn't have anything to do with Russia at that point. It says that if we do not do X, Y, and Z, then a great war, a worse war, will break out during the pontificate of Pius XI. And then down here, we have it said that if Russia is not converted, she will spread her errors through the world, causing wars and persecution of the church.
Ah.
So that part could still be in effect happening right now. Or it's a very big and common way of thinking about it is communism in general and how communism focused on a more secular reality. You know, a lot of times religion was just outright banned in the Soviet bloc
right. And
the Eastern European countries. So there's that. There was a weird occurrence of the Aurora Borealis that somehow Lucy saw. I didn't research this as well as I should, that she claims is also where it says you'll see a mysterious light in the sky to basically confirm all of this. So that's the second secret. Okay, good?
Sure.
Cool.
I mean, it's not possible for her to see the Aurora Borealis from
Well,
Portugal,
that's what I'm
but...
saying is I don't know where she was. I think she may have been traveling. I don't know.
I mean, you have to
be pretty far north, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to see it in Portugal.
No. Not unless we have an issue with the ozone, right? Is that how it gets? No, it's a magnetic field. So no, you can't.
Let me do this real quick.
You wouldn't be able to. We're shielded.
We're going to Alaska in May.
Cool.
And I really hope I can see the Aurora Borealis. I think that'd be a really wonderful time. Wonderful time. Okay, on January 25th, damn it, don't. Okay, on January 25th, a remarkable display, the 1938, a remarkable display of Aurora Borealis was visible across Europe.
Wow.
Dang. That's pretty miraculous. So that's essentially what she saw and was supposedly the sign that sealed the revelation. So there's that. That's where we start to get into that future prediction that most people associate with all of the secrets of Fatima, but especially the third secret of Fatima. So, like we said, the secret was originally kept or received in 1917 by the children. The first two parts were kept until 1941. But Lucy said she was uncomfortable revealing the third part of the secret, because she had felt as though she had not been authorized to share it. A few years later, while suffering from a significant bout of influenza that threatened to take her life, she put the third part of the secret down in writing and sealed it in an envelope on which she wrote, quote, "By express order of Our Lady, this envelope can only be opened in 1960 by the Cardinal Patriarch of Lisbon or the Bishop of Liria." Or Lyra? Liria. Hey, you're Portuguese.
So?
Okay.
I don't know how to speak it.
That's fair. How do you say your name? Your
Matoso.
Last name? And how does your family say your last name?
I don't know. It depends on who you're asking. My dad says it Matoso, as in the O and the I make an A sound. I don't know.
And then in the break room at work, how did you pronounce it?
Let's get past this. I don't understand what kind of point you're trying to make.
I'm just saying. If anyone here should know these names, it's you. You want to ask me how to pronounce any town in the whole kingdom of Denmark? I'm your man. No, I'm not. Not at all. Nope. Now, the secret remained in the care of the Bishop of Liaria, who kept it for 13 years, never opening it. He had added his own note to the envelope that if he were to die, the envelope should go to the Patriarch of Lisbon, Cardinal D. Manuel. Lucy had requested, on behalf of Our Lady, that the envelope was opened and the secret read to the world either when she died or, as we said, in the year 1960, whichever came first. However, by the time that the year 1960 had come, the secret was transferred out of the regional hands of the Bishopric of Liaria, as orders came from Rome in 1957 that all the materials related to the secret, including Lucy's journals, photocopies of her writings, and of course the third secret itself, were to be shipped to the Vatican. This was accomplished on March 16th, 1957. So we see a movement. We see a transmigration of the secret.
Okay, cool. So the Vatican has it. What's the secret?
That's what all the people of 1960 were clamoring about.
It's time, baby.
Tell us the secret. And they're clamoring that because Lucy had not been necessarily private about that writing and the idea that it should be brought out in 1960. She had mentioned it. But there was a press release a month into 1960 that came from the Bishopric of Rome, which stated, quote, "Faced with the pressure that has been placed on the Vatican, some wanting the letter to be opened and made known to the world, others on the supposition that it may contain alarming prophecies, desiring that its publication be withheld, the same Vatican circles declare that the Vatican has decided not to make public Sister Lucia's letter, and to continue keeping it rigorously sealed. The decision of the Vatican authorities is based on various reasons. One, Sister Lucia is still living. Two, the Vatican already knows the contents of the letter. Three.
How? It's sealed.
Right. They opened it.
But they just said they had it sealed.
Right. A different seal.
Oh.
Like a, yeah.
Could they?
Three. Although the Church recognizes the Fatima apparitions, she does not pledge herself to guarantee the veracity of the words which the three little shepherds claim to have heard from Our Lady. In these circumstances, it is most probable that the secret of Fatima will remain forever, forever, under absolute seal.
Or did it?
Or did it?
I don't know.
Or is it still? See, this is where things start to get a little weird. People start to get a little crazy, shall we say. Yes.
Sure, they're like that before.
The rumor mill begins to work overtime. We literally have a cover up here, right? And I'm not trying to accuse the Vatican of impropriety, as I will be doing so in a few minutes.
Perfect.
Not me personally, but just repeating what other people have said regarding all of this. But we do have a literal cover up here where the Vatican is straight up saying, hey, we got it. We know it. It's not for you, it's for me. It's not for you. Bad. Go away. Go find your own secrets.
Well, that's that.
Yep, that is.
Perfect.
That's it. Except it's not.
Dang it.
Some were certain that the third secret spoke of ruin and the end of the world, which will definitely excite people's passions.
Again, I thought we already heard about the end of the world.
When? Oh, in the second secret?
Yeah.
Various nations being annihilated isn't necessarily the end of the world.
Well, Great War, more brutal than anything else. Like, that makes sense.
Yeah, but, that's true.
There's a lot
motif.
Of doom and gloom.
There's this
Where's
motif.
The good stuff?
There's this motif in the Old Testament where God uses other nations to punish people. Like, he uses Israel to punish the Canaanites. He uses Babylon to punish Israel. So basically, the idea is that Russia will be like that. God will use them as a smackdown for various reasons and the like.
Why would he do that?
I don't know. We're upset.
All right.
In any case, one of the most alarming and interesting manifestations of this conspiracy that surrounded the third part of The Secret are the events of May 2nd, 1981, when Aer Lingus Flight 164 from Dublin to London was hijacked. A man
named... short flight.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not bad. It's like, yeah, it's probably like 40 minutes. It'll probably take me longer to get to Portland next week. But a man...
Of course it would.
...named... Well, I'm going to fly...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Obviously.
I just assumed you drove. I don't know. I'm sorry.
I usually do, but this time we didn't want to because of the blues and the mountains and the snow. We don't have a spare tire. So, yeah, we're going to figure
Remember
that out
that,
before
that
we
nice
move.
Old man in the beginning of your story.
Well, no. What old man?
That what? You bought your car from.
Oh, yeah. They told my wife that it didn't
what
have a spare tire.
What happened to the spare?
I don't know. And then the first day we had it, we were driving, and guess what? Tire flat. Went flat. And I, okay, no problem. We can figure this out. I've changed the tire 100 times. Open up the rear. No spare tire in the boot. Nothing there. Had
Not
to go buy
donut,
a new one.
Huh?
Not even a donut.
How'd you get there?
My dad.
All right, there we go.
Dad picked me up.
See, this is a solid story.
And then, technically, let me tell you, the car broke down, and then we went to Andrade's for dinner, and then we got a tire.
Naturally.
Because some things are too important to wait.
Meals.
Like Andrade's.
Okay.
It's so good. Now, Lawrence James Downey doused himself in petrol, demanded that the plane continue on to France, and if it wasn't, he would light himself on fire.
Did you just say petrol because it's the UK?
Well, that's
gas.
what the news said,
yeah.
So yes.
Okay.
He was able to do this because back in the good old days, you could smoke on airplanes. You could do whatever the hell you wanted. It was a crazy time to be alive.
I guess you didn't have TSA to smell you. Like, hey, you smell like petrol.
You smell a little funny there, chap. You feeling all right?
I'm a race car driver.
What?
I don't know.
There you go. He demanded that once the plane reached France, which is where it was going to go instead of wherever I just said it was going.
London. Dublin
yes,
to
thank
London.
Thank you. Dublin to London. Go on to France and then refuel in order to make a flight to Tehran, Iran.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't look that closely at this. Now, as it touched down in France, an eight-hour standoff occurred with Downey releasing a manifesto, throwing his manifesto out through the window. If you're going to do anything, you need a manifesto so people know why you're doing it, because that's very important.
Makes sense.
It's very
important. He was
prepped. He was prepped. He knew what was going on.
Did the manifesto not get covered in petrol as well?
Oh, maybe it did. I don't know.
Oh, man, that seems like it that's... With all the smoking going on in the plane
cabin.
That's
next level hijacking.
Well, I was going to say, that seems risky to keep your manifesto around that way.
Well, that's true.
If it's soaked.
Maybe he had it in a bag.
That makes sense.
He did think I had.
A Ziploc.
Obviously.
Or something, I don't know.
So.
None of that generic brand stuff.
He throws the Ziploc manifesto out the window. The cops see it and they're like, what the hell's going on here? We got ourselves a little note-sy. And they open the note, and what do they find?
That's what they sound like in France.
Oui, oui, a note-si. What do they find but a 9-page rambling, which is not all about, but significantly has quite a portion dedicated to the third secret of Fatima, and how they had to release this, otherwise there were going to be some big problems for the people on the plane and everyone else. Now... That didn't happen. Again, it was an eight-hour standoff. They finally negotiated the hostage situation. Everybody was fine. Everything was okay. Nobody got hurt. It came out that Downey was a Trappist monk who had been expelled from the abbey for punching his superior in the face, as you do. And then he worked as a tour guide in Fatima. So he kind of then, I guess, went a little crazy with it. What's interesting is, like, I was wondering if he was...
Why didn't he just, like, hijack a plane from Portugal, then?
Oh, that would make more sense.
Why was he in Dublin? What brought him to Ireland?
He was doing what he could with where he was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was he on the run?
I have no idea. No one was... I don't think anyone was... Well, maybe he was being chased.
Wait, how long did he get prison for?
Like 5 years.
That's it?
It's really
for
not bad.
For a hijacking
yeah,
a plane?
It's really not bad.
That
it wasn't
seems...
terrible. Whatever it was, whether it was 5 years or it was a little more, I remember seeing it and being like, huh, That's not the right amount of time. Yeah,
that needs to be longer.
That shouldn't have happened. Yes, he was sentenced to 5 years in prison, is what it says here.
The French just understand, you know, being lost in passion, I guess.
Oh, yes. Who among us has not hijacked a plane to reveal the secrets? None of us. Let him who has not hijacked a plane throw the first stone. That's how his trial went. Yeah. Okay. A manifesto wrapped around a rock through a window of a plane.
In a Ziploc.
In a Ziploc. Now, that was one crazy thing that happened.
Wait, the window opened?
Jason, I don't know.
I'm sorry, but this story just seems wild.
There's all sorts of news
full
reports.
Of holes.
Interesting. Are you suggesting this is also part of the cover-up?
Yes.
Wow.
That's why you only got 5 years.
It could be. I think it's because nobody got hurt. I think if anyone got
hurt,
yeah,
but think of all the time that got wasted.
Remember how everyone was like, D.B. Cooper, nobody found him. It's probably because he died, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he probably died on impact, yeah. And then, like, you know, the wilds took his body.
And the money.
Yeah.
We'll talk about D.B. Cooper at some point. We have to.
Why?
Otherwise, we'll run out of things to talk about.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. Now, some other important moments in the conspiracy.
We'll end up talking about a weird mole you found. It's
shaped just like Texas. Some other important moments in the conspiracy leading up to the secret's revelation in the year 2000. Kind of spoiled it for myself there. It is released in the year 2000.
How could you?
It includes...
sitting on the edge of my seat.
Another important moment includes the then Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, who would go on to become Pope Benedict XVI. He stated in 1984... that the secret involves the end of the world and dangers threatening the life of the world. Another quote, supposedly from Ratzinger, is that the secret of Fatima is essentially the same as the revelation of Our Lady of Akita. Now, we do mention...
If it is, then why not just release it?
Yeah. Well,
if it's so similar, then just release it.
And that's what he's doing. Is he's like, we don't have to, because it's like the same thing. So it's fine. Don't worry about
it.
Don't worry about it. It's basically the same thing.
Yeah. But if it's the same thing,
don't
just show it to me.
About it. Okay. Now, we do talk about Our Lady of Akita in the fourth episode this month, when we talk about kind of an overview of Marian apparitions. Do you remember Akita? That
no.
was the wooden
I've locked everything out.
The wooden statue.
Ah, yes.
Yes. So
that bled real tears? No.
It cried real tears
it
and
cried,
bled real blood.
That's what I meant.
Yes. What we do not mention in that episode is her apocalyptic prophecy.
It spoke as well.
Here it comes. Well, it did speak, but its mouth didn't move. It was a statue, Jason. Come on. It basically, if you'll remember...
It bled blood and cried.
If you'll remember, the statue was speaking to a deaf individual. She was deaf. She heard someone speaking to her that directed her to the statue, and then the statue spoke to her, and then it healed her deafness over time as part of the miracles. Well, not over time. It healed her deafness, the deafness came back, and then it healed it once and for all. So, you're looking like we didn't talk about this.
This is
we
wild.
We absolutely did. All right.
Sure.
Anyway, so, one apocalyptic prophecy that we did not mention in that episode that comes from Our Lady of Akita is as follows. Quote, "My dear daughter, listen well to what I have to say to you. As I told you, if men do not repent and better themselves, the Father will inflict a terrible punishment on all humanity. It will be a punishment greater than the deluge." Deluge. The flood.
Okay.
I don't know. Deluge? It's not deluge.
Deluge.
Okay. Such as one...
I know it because it's a magic card.
...will never have seen before. Fire will fall from the sky and will wipe out a great part of humanity, the good as well as the bad, sparing neither priests nor faithful. The survivors will find themselves so desolate that they will envy the dead. Each day recite the prayer of the rosary. With the rosary pray for the pope, bishops, and the priests. The work of the devil will infiltrate even into the church in such a way that one will see cardinals opposing cardinals and bishops against other bishops. The priests who venerate me will be scorned and opposed by their confrerers. I don't know what that means. Churches and altars sacked. The church will be full of those who accept compromises, and the demon will press many priests and consecrated souls to leave the service of the Lord. The demon will be especially implacable against souls consecrated to God. The thought of the loss of so many souls is the cause of my sadness. If sins increase in number and gravity, there will be no longer pardon for them. With courage, speak to your superior. It is Bishop Ito who directs your community. You have still something to ask? Today is the last time that I will speak to you in living voice. From now on, you will obey the one who sent to you and your superior. I alone am able to still save you from the calamities which approach. So, we have a very important element in this message, something very, very important. And what that is a general apostasy. Apostasy meaning falling away, meaning a loss, a breach of faith. So the idea is that the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, the Holy Roman Catholic Church will be infiltrated by devils and will destroy itself from the inside out. That's my arm. That's my elbow. Interestingly enough,
as he slowly gestures towards me, that's what's going on.
There is a document which predates Akita that seems to imply that the third secret does include such a message. An article published in October of 1963 in a German newspaper claimed that an extract of the third secret had been circulating amongst the highest levels of diplomatic society. We're talking about Kennedy, Khrushchev, and others as receiving this warning from the Vatican, which is as follows. Wow, there's a lot of quotes in this one. Quotes.
Yes, there are.
That's a great way to pump up an episode. Just keep putting quotes in there.
That's how I used to pump up my essays. So, I mean, makes sense.
There you go. Block quotation. Quote, "A great punishment will come over the entire human race, not yet today nor tomorrow, but in the second half of the 20th century. What I have already made known at La Salette through the children Melanie and Maximine, I repeat to you today. Humanity has not changed as God expected it to. It has sinned and trampled underfoot the gift it had received. There is no order anywhere. Satan rules even in the highest positions and determines the directions of things. He will succeed in worming his way even into the highest summits of the church. He will succeed in seducing the minds of the great scholars who invent armaments with which half of humanity can be destroyed in seconds. He will have the mighty among the people under his sway and will induce them to turn out mass productions of arms. If humanity does not amend itself, I will be forced to let go the arm of my son. If the mighty of the earth and of the church do not oppose this, I myself will do it, and I will ask God my Father to allow to come over men the punishment of his justice. Then it will be that God will punish men more harshly than he did by the flood, and the mighty and the powerful shall perish along with the humble and the weak. But this also will be a time of great trials for the church. Cardinals will be against cardinals. Bishops will oppose bishops. Satan will walk in their ranks. In Rome, there will be great changes. What is rotten will fall, and what will fall will never rise again. Darkness will envelop the church, and the world will be thrown into a panic. The great, great war will come in the second half of the 20th century. Fire and smoke will come down from the sky, and the oceans of water will turn into vapor, and their forms will explode towards the sky, and everything that stands will collapse. Millions and more millions of men will perish from hour to hour, and those who survive will envy those who have perished. Around and everywhere there will be anguish, misery all over the earth, and ruins in every country. Look, time is getting shorter and shorter, the chasm is getting wider, and there is no way out. The just will perish with the evil ones, the mighty with the humble, the princes of the church with the faithful, the sovereigns of the world with their people. Everywhere death will rule in triumph through the fault of madmen and the partisans of Satan, who then shall alone rule the world. It will be a time no king nor emperor nor cardinal nor bishop will expect, but which nevertheless will come to punish and avenge according to the design of my Father. Later, however, when those who survive this are still alive, God and his glory will again be proclaimed. God will again be served as in the old days when the world was not so corrupt. I call upon all the true disciples of my Son Jesus Christ, all the true Christians, and the apostles of the latter days. The time of times shall come, and the end of ends, if humanity is not converted, and if this conversion does not come from the top, from those who lead the world and the church. But woe, woe to humanity, if it is not converted, and if the conversion is not forthcoming, and if everything remains as it is, or now gets worse, go, my child, and proclaim it, for I will always be at your side, and I will assist you, unquote. So.
Sounds just like a good old-fashioned, hey, the world's going to be doomed unless you come to church.
The end is nigh. Yeah.
Threat.
Yeah. Pretty common thread through apocalyptic prophecy, of which there has been a lot over the course of the last 2,000 years.
Correct.
So, interestingly...
Why does it matter?
Interestingly...
Perfect.
Interestingly...
Context.
Well, does it matter? That's the question.
No, it doesn't.
It does matter.
The same old song and dance.
It is the same old song
There's
and dance.
There's no specifics.
Well, the latter half of the 20th century, so that
Oops.
Happened. Now, here's the thing about biblical... Here's the thing about prophecy. People hate to hear it, but it's true. Prophecy in a... Especially related to an Old Testament sense, is not a guarantee. Prophecy is not a promise. Prophecy is a warning. Thus, if ways are turned from and people are converted and things happen, then the prophecy will not be fulfilled. This is what Jeremiah says in his, I don't know the exact citation, but the idea is this is a warning, and if you don't get it together, Sonny, it's gonna happen too. So you always have the ability to just fall back and say, well, I guess things were better than we thought they were. Especially if
so
you're a
they
skeptic.
Don't matter.
They matter.
No.
They matter.
No.
They're the impetus for change.
No.
As we'll see, these prophecies
it's just
matter.
A threat.
They matter very, very,
it's
very
the same thing
dearly
as just,
to some specific
as just
people.
Your soul burning in hell. Like it's be a good person, go to church, or this happens.
Well, that's true. Well, is it true though?
That was true in the Gothic era.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why literally hell is on doorways into Gothic cathedrals. It's to scare you into church.
Yeah.
This is the shelter.
This is how it is. Okay.
From the hellfire. Yeah.
So, that is the expectation with which people were set to receive
it.
The third secret. Would you like to hear the third secret?
Yes. Tell me the third secret,
there
Sam.
There was a consensus one way or the other that the third part of the secret was going to be bombastic, apocalyptic, and earth-shaking. Therefore, when on the 83rd anniversary...
Well, yeah, if the church was telling the truth.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. All right. Again,
you're,
there's the setup.
You're getting there.
Continue.
Thank you for the setup, sir. When, on the 83rd anniversary of the first apparition of Our Lady of Fatima, it was announced that the final part of the secret would remain or would be revealed in about a month, the whole world was in a buzz. The church released this handwritten text, 4 pages long, the following month. Quote.
Again?
Like I said, there's a lot of quotes in this one.
Okay.
Quote. The third part of the secret revealed at the Cova Diary of Fatima on 13 July 1917. I write in obedience to you, my God, who commanded me to do so through His Excellency the Bishop of Liria and through your most holy mother and mine. After the two parts which I have already explained, at the left of Our Lady and a little above, we saw an angel with a flaming sword in his left hand flashing. It gave out flames that looked as though they would set the world on fire, but they died out in contact with the splendor of Our Lady, radiated towards him from her right hand. Pointing to the earth with his right hand, the angel cried out in a loud voice, "Penance, penance, penance!" And we saw in an immense light that is God something similar to how people appear in a mirror when they pass in front of it. A bishop dressed in white, we had impressions that it was the Holy Father. Other bishops, priests, men and women, religious, going up a steep mountain, at the top of which there was a big cross of rough-hewn trunks as of a cork tree with the bark. But before reaching there, the Holy Father passed through a big city, half in ruins and half trembling with halting step. Afflicted with pain and sorrow, he prayed for the souls of the corpses he met on the way. Having reached the top of the mountain, on his knees at the foot of the big cross, he was killed by a group of soldiers who fired bullets and arrows at him. And in the same way, there died one another, the other bishops, priests, men and women, religious, and various lay people of different ranks and positions. Beneath the two arms of the cross were two angels, each with a crystal aspersorium, which is a holy water fount, in his hand, in which they gathered up the blood of the martyrs, and with it sprinkled the souls that were making their way to God. Unquote. So, what do we have here?
Sounds a bit different.
It's a bit different. It's still nigh unto apocalyptic, and yet...
It's apocalyptic adjacent, for sure.
It is apocalyptic adjacent, and yet it is not apocalyptic. It does not speak of the end of the world.
It's not the exact same thing.
It's not. And most notably, for our eagle-eared listeners out there, you'll notice there's no mention of an apostasy, a great breaking away in their church. In fact, the entire church, from the very top down, men and women, everybody of every rank and position, is portrayed as being faithful unto death. So
where are the devils that are taking hold?
That's a good question. Now, we'll get to that in just a minute.
What? No.
There is one important part of this that has hung on throughout the years, which is the reference to the Holy Father being attacked or killed by bullets. Jason literally just flexed and his shirt popped open.
Oops. Stretching.
He was, the Holy Father being killed by bullets was interpreted either as a future event or, popularly, as a prediction of the assassination attempt on the life of John Paul II, which took place, dig if you will, on May 13th, 1981, which would have been the, what would that be? 1981, 4 years, so the 64th anniversary of the first sighting in Fatima. John Paul II was, there was an attempted assassination on him by an individual named Mehmet Ali Agca. Agca was a communist who believed that the Roman Catholic Church, and especially the Pope himself, represented every evil of capitalism embodied, personified, and so therefore he decided to kill the Pope. In a masterclass of forgiveness, JP2 asked the entire church to pray for his would-be assassin, whom he demanded be pardoned and sent back to his home country of Turkey, which he was wanted in Turkey, and so he did go to jail in Turkey, but he was almost certainly going to be executed on the attempt of JP2 if he had not intervened. Agca and John Paul II then exchanged letters and appeared to regard each other as friends for the rest of their lives. So that's pretty cool. It's pretty unexpected, I would say. But the important part of this is that the Holy Father does not die. The Papa survives. He appears dead for a time, which, to be completely fair, well, not to be fair, but to be speculative, it's said that, well, when it says he was killed, it means that he was appeared to be killed. And truly, JP2 did appear to die. He was losing a lot of blood. He lost consciousness for sure. And it was unsure whether or not he would make it for a minute there. So that's one interpretation of the prophecy.
But trying to fit that, you are making you're bending
a lot
it
of
a
assumptions.
Lot.
You are
really trying hard to make that fit.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So it's probably not. What's the second option?
There is another theory.
Hit me.
A conspiracy within the conspiracy, which claims that the prophecy did not refer to JP. What?
We have to go deeper.
We have to go deeper. It did not refer to JP2, but rather to his immediate predecessor, JP1, John Paul I. That's right. JP1. John Paul I ruled for the 11th shortest period of time. There have been 260 some popes. He was the 11th shortest, clocking in at just 4 days as pope. Or no, sorry. Just 34 wow. days.
Oh, as okay.
Po. Still,
I was gonna say, 11th shortest. So
I think the
shortest. Number one and two are like a couple hours?
I think the shortest is 4 days, is why I got that mixed up.
Oh, okay.
But yes, 34 days as Pope. He was found dead in his bed after supposedly passing away peacefully in his sleep. However, a popular conspiracy theory claims that he was in fact murdered. His murderers? Freemasons, whom the Catholics have been opposed to for quite some time. With a papal ban of Freemasonry being enacted in 1738 and still in effect to this day. This conspiracy goes quite well with the third secret for a number of reasons. Firstly, when JP1 was a cardinal, he met Lucia and was deeply moved by her account of the events in Fatima, becoming quite devoted to spreading the word about what happened there. Thus, for Freemasons to have infiltrated the church at such a level where they could murder a pope and get away with it, the whispers of apostasy in the church, in harmony with the Akita prophecy, would also help to explain why the secret was supposedly changed before release, because it was too late. Yet, there are a number of missing components from the secret that have led a number of people to cry foul. But more so than the content of the secret itself, there are a few different components that lead people to believe deeper in a conspiracy. One thing that's particularly interesting right off the bat is that the third secret does not contain any words attributed to Mary herself. Now, according to a canon, Casimir Barthes, who interviewed Lucia right after she wrote down the secret and sealed it back in like 1943 or 44, he said, quote, "The text of the words of Our Lady was written by Sister Lucia and enclosed in a sealed envelope." But, again, the entire thing is in Lucy's own words, written as a letter, which is the second thing. That's the third thing. The second thing is a discrepancy between the phrasing of the end of the second secret in Lucia's own memoirs. In an early version of the second secret, it's all word for word, for what I said earlier and read it at the beginning of the show, except for the fact that it ends with the phrase, "In Portugal, the dogma of the faith will always be preserved." But the official text of the secret ends with the sentence which precedes the final sentence in the memoir being, quote, "The Holy Father will consecrate Russia to me, she will be converted, and a period of peace will be granted to the world," unquote. So, when the third secret was revealed, many people assumed that it would begin with the phrase, "In Portugal, the dogma of the faith will always be preserved," because it would kind of make sense, right? It's just, it's all one big secret. So, like, where do you make that cut? Between hell and the apocalypse, that's a good cut. But then between the apocalypse and the persecution of the church, that could be a little bit more money. So it would make sense that she cuts it in the wrong place. It ends within Portugal, and then the third secret, it actually begins within Portugal. And yet, "In Portugal, the dogma of the faith will always be preserved" does not occur in the third secret at all. So that's something. I think it's pretty interesting.
So you're saying that that is enough an indication that the original message has been
tampered with. Yes. Now, another point of doubt is that according to Lucia's own words, this is what I was trying to say, but then I skipped over it. I had to go back. The third point of doubt is that the secret was supposedly couched in a letter written to the Bishop of Liria. Yet the handwritten text of the secret is just 4 pages of direct secret revelation with no introduction, no niceties, no hello to the most esteemed, wonderful Bishop of Liria, nothing. Nothing at all. There's no reference of anything else other than the text of the secret. Furthermore, by the earliest accounts of the secret, individuals who were there claimed that they saw it was written on one single sheet of paper, whereas the church published a 4-page handwritten secret. With these facts, including the exclusion of apostasy in the church, the conspiratorial horses are off to the conspiratorial races. We're going to do a broad overview. No, I'm not even going to say that. Next logical step in the conspiracy comes in October of 2001, the year after the secret was revealed. an article was run in a number of Italian papers that alluded to Sister Lucia writing a letter to John Paul II, warning him that he was in fact still in danger, and that the events of The Secret were not the past, but that he was obligated to reveal the rest of the secret as well. I will make a caveat here. Didn't really follow these ones up. Didn't really try to find the actual source material. So, who knows? But I saw this in a number of websites, so I'm not opposed to it.
But it's also probably pretty hardcore speculation.
It's extremely speculation.
I mean, we're talking about basically the birth of the internet.
Yeah.
Roughly.
Yeah.
So I would not be surprised if some ill information got spread around.
Yeah. I heard in Italy there was in the paper and Sister Lucia wrote a letter about it. And yeah, we don't know. We don't know for sure. It may be out there. You might be able to find it very quickly. I don't know. Look, my dear friends, look and you shall find. Now, it's been posited then, based upon what Lucia says in her supposed letter and all the other discrepancies, that this third secret may have two secrets in and of itself, two parts. So it's actually a four-part secret with one of the parts. It's like the Lord of the Rings.
So here's the problem. When you have a secret and you are bending over backwards to make it relevant or to make it fit events.
You sound to be fairly skeptical of this secret, Jason.
A bit.
Wow.
Then it's probably not true.
Wow.
Are you telling me it doesn't seem like a lot of trouble to make this thing work?
I'm saying there's some good grade A conspiracy here.
Perfect.
And I'm all about it.
All right.
In around 1952, a Father Joseph Schwegel interviewed Lucia and stated, quote, "I may not reveal anything with regard to the third secret, but I am able to say that it has two parts. One part concerns the Pope. The other part is the logical continuation, though I may not say anything of the words. In Portugal, the dogma of the faith will always be preserved." So, there it is again. 1952, this person, Father Joseph Schwegel, makes that assumption. There's two different parts of it. We could just have the one part. This was way before. This was way before the secret came out.
Is this where that separation of the church is happening, where we have a call for Portugal to become a new seat of power?
Exactly.
For the
Catholic
Church.
Not even necessarily a seat of power, but a seat of piety. A place. It makes complete and total sense. It all really fits. That if this, what I'm saying is true.
Abandon the Vatican and
not even necessarily abandon the Vatican, but the idea that there's going to be an apostasy where the church is going to be infiltrated by evil, it then makes sense that that phrase, in Portugal, the dogma of the faith will always be preserved, it fits perfectly. And it has always fit perfectly. And that's why when people read The Secret, that's why we're talking about this conspiracy today, because it is so different. Is so absent of the little bits and pieces that we got here and there. But there is a larger structure, which the third secret rests in the shadow of, which, according to conspiracy theories or conspiracy theorists, is the entire reason for the third secret and its cover-up.
Aliens?
Oh, I wish. God. I wish.
I had hope.
I got high hope for some aliens. A year before The Secret was supposed to have been opened and read.
So 59?
59. Pope John the 23rd announced that he was intending to call a general council of the church. This caught the entire church by surprise. The purpose of the council was to settle dogmatic disputes and take the church into the new world and all of this and that and whatever. But it was surprising because papal infallibility as a dogma had recently, within the last 100 years, been established and or not established, but had been upheld and codified and believed. So theoretically, a general council wouldn't have been necessary. The Pope himself, acting on inspiration, ought to have been able to settle these matters, or so goes the dissenting viewpoint. It would take 3 years to prepare the council. And when it was prepared and convened, it became the monumental event of theological discourse and dogmatic formulation of the 20th century, known as Vatican II. Vatican II is a turning point for the church. It is the complete reformulation of certain aspects of liturgy, of certain aspects of the Mass, of all sorts of different, like just how to be Catholic and all of these different things, what the lay people are held to, what the priests are held to, and everything. It is literally a turning point in the church. Just a few of the things that came out of it is that the Mass was no longer required to be said in Latin. It was able to be said in English. That took until 1960, whatever, for that to come through. Catholics were finally permitted to pray with other Christians and encouraged to form ecumenical inter-denominational relationships and friendships with them. One document stated that the Jews were not to blame for the death of Jesus, which anti-Semitic forces have been and continue to use that idea in their terrible weaponry for a long time and still now. The church instituted sweeping reforms throughout, encompassing liturgy, clergy, and almost all aspects of the Catholic Church and life. Now, conspiracy theorists claim that Vatican II, with its comprehensive reform that reshaped the church for this modern age, could be the exact event that the complete third secret was trying to warn people of. The second part of the third secret, the logical extension of in Portugal, the dogma of the faith will be preserved, is that elsewhere in the world, the dogma of the faith will not be preserved. Vatican II was a dogmatic challenge by nature. The required timing of the secret is likewise perfect if it did have anything to do with the Second Vatican Council, because, like I said, a year before it was suddenly announced, and then the secret was not read, and it was covered for the next 40 years. The council was the method by which the church was fully infiltrated and began its decline, theoretically. That earlier text that we read called the News Europa, the one about that they sent to Khrushchev and Kennedy, the Akita prophecy, the warning of Ratzinger and others seemed to agree before the release of the secret that it had something to do with an apostasy, the infiltration of the church. Yet the revealed secret only speaks of the persecution of the church. In an interview with a Father Paul Kramer, who is apparently a big ol' conspiracy theorist, a big ol' wacko that people either really love or really don't love, and I'm sorry if you're in either one of those camps and I've offended you. I think we've probably offended every single one of our lovely Catholic listeners, and we apologize. But Father Paul Kramer, a conspiracy theorist most notable for claiming that Pope Francis is an illegitimate pope, claims that the third secret contains words from Our Lady stating that a bad council would be convened in order to hurt the faith. Traditionalists who prefer the church before Vatican II state that this exactly is what happened, which has allowed the church to lose its distinctive spirit, its flavor, and its authority. Such a viewpoint is known as Sedevacantist. That is a word. Sedevacantism. Sedevacant. Yeah. So you're a sedevacant if you believe it, which is the idea that modernism has corrupted the church and rendered the authority of the Pope invalid. Of course, the conspiracy goes all the way to the source, not the top, but the source. Sister Lucia herself. It has been postulated that around the year 1960, the real Sister Lucia passed away.
Oh my God.
Either from illness or murder.
Why are we doing this?
We're not.
Why are we even talking about this still? It's been five weeks, Sam. I don't care.
There is a lot of disturbing amounts of analysis that have gone into this theory, which we're going to link to in the show notes, but we're not going to talk about
here. Don't go into the rabbit hole.
We're not, because it has to do with like cheeks and teeth and eyes shape and stuff, and I'm just not into looking at anybody that closely. Anybody. It's hot in here.
I'm cold.
Okay. So she died, and then a new Sister Lucy came over. The crux of the To Lucy issue is, of course, that if she were still alive around the time the secret was revealed, because she did die in 2005, she would have been obligated to speak up regarding the deception. You'll remember that one main aspect of the conspiracy theory is the article that claims that she did exactly that. It is, even if she didn't do that, even if that little article, as we've talked about, is not true, and she never did attempt to correct the Vatican, it does not mean that she was replaced Paul McCartney style. It would not have been her...
Wait, what? What?
Paul is dead!
Since when?
I don't know. Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Heart Club Band?
But...
He gone, baby!
But he did a song with Kanye. That means he's...
You are my only one. Yeah, I know. That's a great song. We'll talk about Paul is Dead. Do you want to talk about that?
No!
We'll talk
it's
about that.
It's silly.
No, it's great. Well, that'll be like a little filler episode one day. It'll be great. It'll be a conspiracy Jason just doesn't understand.
That, like this one.
And birds aren't real. We'll talk about that too.
Dinosaurs everywhere are upset with you.
Even if Lucy had not been McCartney'd, okay? It does not
Why
mean...
Why am I here?
It does
what
not
day is
mean...
It? What time is
that
it?
She would have stood up against the Vatican. It really is not her place to do so. It's difficult to imagine a simple nun, even one with as illustrious of a career and as pious a nature as Lucy, standing up against the Holy Father.
I'm pretty sure she probably would have just been silenced as well.
Yeah.
I posit... Was.
No, I don't think so. She was very old.
Yeah.
She was very old.
I know, Lucy. You remember writing this? Like, yeah, I guess.
Well, and of course, I don't like this. Like, I don't like this excuse. I hate it, actually. But for the people who say, well, you know, it should have had the direct words of the Virgin. Well, it wasn't written down for, I don't know, 30 years. So maybe she forgot. I don't think that's the case, but it's possible.
Maybe she paraphrased. Maybe she made it up.
Yeah, maybe. In any case, thus, the story of the conspiracy may never be settled.
Hopefully we just all forget about it.
Yes.
And move on with our lives. That's my goal.
So I think Jason has come down pretty hard on the he hates it side.
Releasing secrets and prophecies after the events have occurred are bad. Not having details are bad.
Wait, but they have details. They have details because they were released after the events. So you can pick one or the other, Jason. You can't have both.
I'm talking about the third.
Fair.
The third is not detailed. It's meant for, it's open for interpretation, and that in itself makes it a bad prophecy or a bad secret. When you have to bend over backwards to make things fit, guess what? Try putting in a different slot.
Ooh. That was wise, kind of. It evoked a strange image of a man standing at one of those machines where you would take the four quarters and you'd put them in the thing and then you'd push it in and you'd get a sticker.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought of, but he was doing it backwards.
Perfect.
Perfect. So Jason doesn't believe in any of this.
No, like usual.
I believe in a lot of it, but I don't...
I believe us and a lot of other people...
I don't know what I want.
...have spent way too much time... To this,
Jason is voicing
silly, silly thing,
voicing the frustrations of all of the skeptics who have been forced to sit through a month of Catholic talk with Sam.
It's not even the Crusades.
I will say, oh goodness, I will say this component, the third secret, the conspiracy, and all of that. We just barely, briefly touched this. There is so much more to it. We could have done probably 3 episodes regarding the conspiracy of the third secret itself. I decided not to do that because of the way Jason's looking at me right now, even just mentioning it. But
big scary eyes.
We'll link to some of this in the show notes. We'll have sources for you to go to take a look. It's just so interesting because when I'm reading. Like, when I read some of the posts that are, like, in favor of this idea that Vatican II was evil, I mean, the people seem kind of weird and a little bit conspiracy, you know, the conspiracy kinds. And other people don't seem that way, so...
Can I go home now?
I don't know. I cannot render a verdict whether or not the third secret was changed, or... I do think that something happened, which we talked about in the episode, that there was like an apparition, that there was a miracle, that there were secrets. But the third secret, there's just so much compelling evidence for it having been something else entirely, or at least something else additionally to what it was. So the world may never know. We won't, because I'm pretty sure we're now on somebody's hit list. Wow, no, 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 no. Jason looks so sad. Here, hold that pose. I'm going to take a picture for Instagram. We're back on Instagram, everybody. Oh, wait, we'll do a portrait mode and you'll look like a saint. Sad Saint Jason. Oh, there it is. Did I get it? Oh, no. Hold that pose. I got it. I got it. There you go. There's your sad Saint Jason picture.
Perfect.
Our Jason of Sorrows. All right. We are done.
All right.
We are done talking about Catholic stuff other than the 15 to 20 minute debrief that we're about to record.
Wait, what?
We'll see you all later.